Greetings in the name of Jesus. Welcome to our service this morning. I've been inspired by the songs and the Sunday school lesson, the devotional so far. I think we could go home with that for the week and be blessed and be filled. And to think this morning, and in a number of messages, this is the beginning of a series that I'm planning to preach, Lord willing. Don't know exactly what title to give this series, maybe other than the knowledge of sin and what it is. The Bible talks about sin many, many places in the Bible. I don't know what you think of when you think of sin. Probably different definitions come to your mind. But back in the 6th century, the end of the 6th century, Pope Gregory the Great apparently spent some time thinking about sin. And he said that all the sins in the Bible can be divided under 7 heads. He came up with 7 words that are 7 sins that he believed are the 7 deadly sins in the Bible, and that all other sins in the Bible can fall under the classification of these 7. That probably makes you think of the proverb writer, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. You can turn to that. The proverb writer had 7 things that God hates. He did not say here in Proverbs that they cover all the sins of mankind. But he does mention 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. I'm not going to read them. You can look over them. But his first one, in verse 17, a proud look, is the same as Gregory's first one, and that is the sin of pride. My title this morning is Freedom from the Deadly Sin of Pride. What is pride? If someone asks you what it means to be proud, I'm not going to ask you for a definition. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and I will not call on you. But I'd like you to raise your hand if you think you know what pride is. Okay. Well, in the outset, I'd like to define just a little bit what a biblical definition of pride would be. We'll turn to a number of passages after I give you this more of a dictionary definition. Pride is possessing an unreasonably high conception of one's own excellence of body or mind. Pride is a synonym to arrogance, or arrogance maybe comes from pride of the heart. Haughty is another synonym. Pride is delighting in the thought of one's own superiority over his fellows. You delight in the thought of your superiority. When you compare yourselves with your schoolmates in school, when you compare yourselves with your fellow brothers and sisters in church, you delight in the thought of your superiority. That's pride. Pride is the revolting conceit which swaggers before men and struts in the presence of the Almighty. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We have the description here of Lucifer's fall from heaven. And I believe it is the beginning of sin and the beginning of pride. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Did you notice the five I wills? I will ascend. I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I believe the pride in Lucifer's heart was the first sin ever committed in the universe. This is where sin actually began. A few practical verses that define pride a little more and also tell us how God feels about pride. Turn with me to Proverbs 16 and verse 5. Proverbs 16 and verse 5. This is God's feeling on pride. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So pride is an abomination to God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Here we see that God is able to take man's pride and bring him low. The opposite of what he thinks he is in his heart. God is able to do that. God is interested in doing that. Bringing proud men to their knees. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Another insight into pride, where it comes from, how God feels about it. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So another defining factor of pride is that it is of the world and not of God. If we learn it from wicked men instead of God, the pride of life is of the world. Romans 12, verse 3 says that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. I think that's another definition of pride. It does acknowledge that it is important when he says not to think more highly than we ought to think. There is a certain self-respect that every individual should have, and I believe that verse is allowing for that. But we are not to think more highly than we ought to think. Not to think more highly than God would have us think. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says that God resisteth the proud. And there's a lot of verses in the Bible that use that word resist in connection with pride. If you want to have a lot of conflict in your life, if you want to find God resisting you, be proud. God is interested in resisting the pride. Our conclusion from these verses is simply that God hates pride. He hated the pride of Lucifer. And that's why Lucifer was thrown out of the portals of heaven. God hates pride. Pride may take various forms. You may think of more, but we're going to look this morning at five of the forms of pride that I believe are very prevalent ever since man was created and still today. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to look at a very familiar story. And this is the form, point number one, spiritual pride. I believe the man in this passage was full of spiritual pride. You say, well, how can we be full of spiritual pride? How can pride be spiritual? Well, it's not really. But let's read this story. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is a parable that Jesus spake, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Certainly this Pharisee was full of spiritual pride. Notice what he thanks God for. He thanks God that he's not as other men are. He mentions extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Then he even mentions this publican that he sees standing here. He's thanking God that he's not like them. He tells God some of his good merits. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Full of spiritual pride. Revelation chapter 3, another example of spiritual pride. We'll probably cover this in our Sunday school lesson in the near future, but Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have no need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Notice what the people of this church were saying. We are rich. We are increased with goods. We have no need. Spiritual pride. This morning I'm very thankful for a godly heritage. But am I proud of it? This morning, I am very glad to be part of the Mennonite Church. But am I proud of it? This morning, I am very glad to have been raised in a setting. I'm glad my parents sent me to a Christian school and gave me a Christian education. I'm very thankful for that, but am I proud of it? Do I think I am somebody because of those things? When you find yourself criticizing others, gossiping about others, isn't it because you have a superior feeling about yourself? A chip on the shoulder attitude. I'm just a notch above you. Do the sinners in the world about us, when we meet them, do they feel that chip? I believe those are examples of spiritual pride. We want to avoid spiritual pride. God hates pride. Point number two, intellectual pride. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Intellectual pride, I believe, is pride because of the knowledge I have. Notice that phrase in verse 2. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. We certainly appreciate knowledge. We're glad for what we have been taught. But are we proud of it? Intellectual pride shows itself in arrogance toward the unlearned, the illiterate, the oppressed, the heathen, the poor. Do we feel like we're just a notch above them? Have we forgotten that our mental capacities were given by God? And so if you know more than someone else, it is because of the mental capacities that God gave you. Do we forget that the knowledge we attain is largely the labor of others? What do you know this morning that someone didn't teach you? A human being. And so why are you proud of your knowledge? Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. He mentions the men here of low estate. I believe that's the unlearned, the illiterate, the oppressed, the heathen, and the poor that you and I meet from day to day. Can you condescend down to them? Can you get down on their level? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding. So don't be self-confident because of your intellectual abilities. Be confident, rather, in God. Turn to Proverbs 26:12, yeah? One more verse under this point. Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Wise in his own conceit. God abhors intellectual pride. Point number three, material pride. Simply proud of my material possessions, such as my clothing, my vehicles, my house, my farm, my toys, my prospering business, my landscaped property, the things that I have accumulated here in this life. It's easy to be proud of those. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. We live in the land of America where we know a lot about material possessions. We have a lot of them. If we compare ourselves with people around the world, it's very easy for us to see that we are rich. This verse says, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Do you believe that it's God that gave you the power to get wealth? To get the material possessions that you have today. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 15. I don't think I'll read those verses, but they make it very clear in those verses that riches and honor come from God. Do we believe that today? If we do, it will affect how we feel about our possessions. When we are proud of our possessions, self is enthroned instead of God. But when we realize that the possessions we have, God gave us, and we give Him the glory for it, then God is enthroned. God is on the throne. But when self is enthroned, we begin to concentrate on what we have instead of what we are in the sight of God. And the soul of man begins to shrivel. Lust for money can be very habit-forming. God recognized that in Psalm 62, verse 10. He said, "If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." He knew that it was going to be easy for those who are rich to set their heart upon them. He said, don't do it. 1 Timothy 6, 9, "They that will be rich fall into condemnation," I believe is the word that is there. They that will be rich. So you don't have to be rich to want to be rich. Lust for money can be very habit-forming. Just look around you. Just look at yourself. You made $1,000. What do you want? Just another $1,000. You were able to buy another farm. What do you want? Another farm. You possess and are able to buy another rental property. You want another one. If you're an employer, you're interested in getting new customers. And as soon as you get one, you want another one. And if you get more customers, then you need another employee. And you have another employee and you want another one. If you finally get to the point in the dairy business where you have 100 cows, what do you want? Another 100. You have 6 chicken houses, what do you want? 6 more. Beware of big business in America. Very few men can handle it. Do you own anything that you did not receive from God? Who did the ability to accumulate wealth come from? God gave you the strength to work, the mind to think. In your case, He gave you the great country of America where you have freedom of opportunity. God gave you all those things and you accumulated wealth. Why are you proud? Material pride. Point number four, social pride. Turn to Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3. Social pride manifests itself in class, racial, and caste arrogance. Here we have an example of a man who did that. Esther chapter 3, verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai, which was the Jews. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Social pride. He was proud enough to believe himself so great in the eyes of the king, so much better than Mordecai, and so much better than these Jews. And he portrayed arrogance, social pride toward them. You know the rest of the story. Another example is in John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees again. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice their answer. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free?" Jesus answer again. And verse 39, they answer him again. They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." They were proud of their Jewish lineage. Certainly, social pride would be shown in the mistreatment of slaves in the early days of America. We certainly see social pride there. How about us today? Do we find social pride in our lives? Are people who were raised in the city and lived in the city all their lives, and they come to the country, are they inferior to you? How about the Russians, the Chinese, and the Africans? Do you feel like you are superior to them because of who you are? What class, what race you are? Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom." Point number five, pride shows itself in very personal ways. Maybe this is covered by some of the others, but I simply wrote personal pride down here. Personal pride. I'm talking about my human abilities. Maybe in school I'm the best ball player. Maybe I'm the one that can get all the 100% in arithmetic. Maybe in church life I have the speaking abilities. Personal pride, my personality. I'm proud that I'm an outgoing person, have lots of friends. I'm proud that people like me. Personal pride, my good looks, when I look in the mirror, the wavy locks of hair, the beautiful eyes, the handsome appearance. Maybe I'm proud of my children and my family. Turn to Proverbs 21, verse 4. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I especially put this one here under personal pride because of that phrase, and high look. I think all of us have identified the high look in other people at times, and we just feel like that person is really proud. He just has a high look. But how do you identify a high look in yourself? You can't see yourself. You can't see how you relate to situations of life. How can you identify a high look in yourself? We should think about that. God condemns pride. Sometimes it can be subconscious. Things that we do that other people think looks high and lofty and proud. Sometimes it's not pride, but sometimes it is, and we don't see it. Proverbs 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. While the word pride is not in that verse, I believe we see it there. How many of us have ever refused reproof? Someone reproved us. Someone in authority reproved us. And we refuse to take the reproof. I think all of us have done that sometime or other in our lives, maybe more often than we like to admit. But that's personal pride when we refuse reproof. Turn to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. We have a number of verses here in Isaiah that are quite interesting. Been a while that I read these, but I certainly see personal pride here. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, that's proud, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite a scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calves, and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. God is able to take personal pride pride of our good looks, pride of the ornaments that we put on our bodies, and he's able to make it stink. First Timothy 2, 9 to 11. First Timothy 2, verse 9. I'm going to start at verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. God hates the proud look. God hates ornaments that we are proud of. Romans chapter 1. In verse 28, Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with awe. And here's the list. You get down to verse 30, you see pride, proud. And he closes in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, the proud that know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The Bible clearly teaches that pride is sin. I believe if you look at the Bible from cover to cover, the greatest sin that will bar us from the kingdom of heaven is pride. What can I do about it? What can you do about it this morning? If we find pride in our hearts, my title was Freedom from the Deadly Sin of Pride. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. I believe that every one of us, as we go through life, will find ourselves at times in life when we realize that we are proud. Pride pushes God out of our lives, slowly but surely. If pride is left here, and I don't cleanse it from my heart, it slowly but surely withers the soul and pushes God out. So what do I do if I find pride in my heart? What do we do when we find pride in our hearts? I believe it will happen often in life that we will find pride there. And left there, it pushes God out. The Bible says if you humble yourselves and pray. In order to humble yourself, you have to recognize the pride that is there. And you humble yourself and you call out to God and you pray. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Actually, I don't want verse 14. I want verse 20. This is the same church that we looked at earlier that was proud. This was the church that said they didn't have any needs. This was the church that was increased with goods. They were rich. They didn't understand their wretchedness, their miserableness, they're poor, and they're blind and naked. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. when we allow pride to fill our lives, it pushes God out. Nebuchadnezzar found that out. In the beginning, in his pride, he said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." You know the rest of the story. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? And only 7 verses away, Nebuchadnezzar says this: "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Nebuchadnezzar's experience with God's justice changed him from saying, "This is great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty." And instead he is saying, "And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If pride has pushed God out of your life this morning, God isn't giving up on you. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. Hear. If you hear what I have to say, open and I will come in and pride will go out. Humble yourselves and pray. I'd just like to open it up this morning and give you the opportunity to share. If you have found pride in your life this morning,